business this afternoon, and we all took a decision that we will reconvene to discuss it. Now, I'm not sure if I've got to go back and give context. I'm sure everybody was here. I'm not sure. Mr. Kayla, you were here this afternoon? No. You would want us to give us...
we'll talk this evening together,
don't worry. Oh, okay. Honourable members, I think the question that we need to deal with is... I beg your pardon.
Before we proceed, this is a closed session of the meeting, so everybody is not supposed to be here. If they can just be so kind to leave us, thanks.
Yeah, I was about to say, one, we've got to take a resolution for that. If we want to do that and get permission, I think we don't need to get permission. I'm being advised that the resolution must be informed by the following. The committee must decide on the basis of the content of our discussion is of such a sensitive nature that it warrants a closed session. That must be what informs the resolution that Honourable Steenhuisen is talking about. So, until and unless that motivation is given, it's open. Does somebody wish to give that motivation? In the absence of that motivation, it means we must have the discussion. Honourable Steenhuisen, just on this point before we carry on, it's on this point,
yeah. Chair. I think that the Constitution and our rules, both joint and NA, I presume the rules of the NCP, are very clear about when we go into closed session. It's obviously done under exceptional circumstances, and it's only if really highly confidential things are going to be discussed. As I'm unsure that the report is going to be tabled, I would need to be motivated to why a deliberation of the sort would be confidential, particularly if no confidential information was to emerge from it. It's merely a debate about how we proceed. I don't think it meets the threshold for closing the meeting. It's my view.
Other views? Happiness? Yeah. I think we can live with it because we're discussing the process more than the content of the report. So, honourable members, we have a report which is a preliminary or work in progress because that report was requested by the speaker or the executive authority. It was duly concluded and reported to the executive authority, and the recommendation of that report, as everybody knows from the press release from Parliament, was that there should be a fully fledged disciplinary hearing. What was missing in that report, I think, was by who and the time frame, but that there must be a disciplinary hearing is what came out from that report. I also did indicate that I received the report on Friday, and I have not discussed it with anybody else. On Tuesday, the executive authority reiterated the fact that we must deal with this report in a manner that we don't jeopardize the bigger picture, which is the DC. And I made that undertaking that I'll bring it here. Nobody has seen that report, not even the ANC component, unless it's been leaked that they've got other sources. But the one that I've been given, nobody has seen. The question then is... Oh, let me add the last part, because I think before we left, Honourable Steenhuisen and Waters, you were not in. We tried to arrange a meeting with Speaker just to get all of us together. The Speaker presided and then duly left. I think she's gone out of town, certainly. So we were not able to meet. Safe to say that in my discussion with her for 2 minutes, because that's how I know she left, she indicated to me that the Secretary to Parliament, who is for want of a better word, the main character. I don't know how you call it. I don't want to say accused number one or whatever, but the main character, even he was only subject, he was only given the opportunity to read the report under supervision. He was not given the report, he read it under supervision in the presence of, I think, the chair of the audit committee, and left. So he was not given the physical report. That is the context where we are now. The question is, and honourable members have veered from the one angle to the other angle, not at all to total disclosure, for want of a better word. And I think we need to find a way in terms of the process. And once we've decided the way in terms of the process, we can take it from there. So that really is what the discussion is about. Not the content of the report, but how do we process it as a committee. And that's why I want to open it up. I'm sure everybody wants to make an input on this matter. We'll all make an input and we'll find a way forward after that. So can we, I don't want to go this way because then it's all the ANC and then all the DA, but it doesn't matter, but let's start here and then go this way, go that way, and Kayla, you'll be the last one. If you want to speak. So from you, Chair, Mente, you, and then we go that way, and then Kayla's the last one, and we take a decision how we proceed.
Thank you very much, Co-Chair. I want to align myself with the inputs as made earlier on by Honorable Singh on how we should approach or deal with this matter. And that is basically that in the main, the Office of the Speaker of the National Chairperson of the ANCOP are the ones who are managing this matter, who are managing this process. And as you are aware, the process is not yet concluded. It still has to unfold. The DC process in particular, which is very sensitive, still has to be gone into. It's a sensitive process that must be handled with care. If we don't, we run indeed the risk of jeopardizing the whole process. We run the risk of prejudicing also the rights of the main character, as the co-chair has referred to. And in fact, that which we want to achieve, we may end up actually shooting ourselves in the foot. In fact, under normal circumstances, we are not even supposed to have this report. Our co-chair, including ourselves, are not even supposed to have this because the process is not yet concluded. The management, including the DC issues of senior people in Parliament, as this one, is being handled at that particular correct level. And my view is we should actually allow that process to run its course. And once that has happened, we will still be able to come back to our oversight, play our oversight role, and be able to take whatever decision we may want to. So I'm saying, for me, the best approach is to actually say, Chair, in fact, even this report for now, you should take it back until the process is done. And once it's done, we'll then come back and we'll then be able to access whatever any reports that are available and be able to play that oversight role and take a decision. So that is my view. Thank you very much.
Honorable Esther. Thank you, Honorable Tabir. Kovaza?
Yes, I'm covered. Just to say that, to add that, I don't even know that I don't even know that we were supposed to discuss this issue at this point, simply because this is an HR matter, and it probably should have been left to be concluded by the executive authority and write it up to the end of it and then be reported to the committee to play its oversight role where the oversight is needed on this particular matter, particularly where it refers to the finances of, if there are any matters that refer to the finances of Parliament. And so I totally agree with what the co-chairperson is putting forth.
Honourable Matara.
Thanks, Chair. Chair, I want to thank you for allowing us to go maybe and cool off before we come back and make a decision, because I think it was a bit unnecessarily heated earlier on. But safe to say that when this committee was established, I think we impressed upon ourselves that we at no stage must turn the committee into something that it's not. So for instance, we've recommended, for lack of a better word, to say, for instance, that the quarterly consultative forum must be re-established, because we were going to deal with issues that forum is supposed to deal with. And according to the Act, we're not supposed to, or this is not the oversight mechanism's mandate. Now, very early on, the committee also received representations from NAAU, which we didn't entertain, for lack of a better word, because we made it clear that we're not going to turn into a bargaining forum for the union and management, and use the committee to referee between them, and just spoke on that they must resolve their issues to make sure that that Parliament runs smoothly, efficiently, effectively, and that those issues must not hamper the way the way Parliament functions. Now, aligned to what Honourable Gwabaza is saying, it's an HR matter. And I know that the committee has time and time again said, how far is this process? Can we get the report? Can we get the report? And we've been told that the process is with the internal audit, which is according to, in line with the Act. The Act says that there must be an internal audit unit, and then if there is in relation to the, I can even read the section of the Act, if there is in relation to the accounting, in relation to the accounting officer, if the audit committee, allegations against the accounting officer, if the audit committee becomes aware of information implicating the accounting officer, fraud, corruption, or gross negligence, it must report this promptly to the executive authority and the oversight mechanism, which has happened. And that process has been put into place, the investigation. And the report that we received was that, or the update on that process that we received was that it necessitates a full DC process. Now, for me, if that report gets made public, it must be made public to all members of Parliament and not this committee only. Because it's not within the mandate of this committee to be looking into issues of HR matters, DC processes, etc., etc. Because then we'd have to get other members of the staff of Parliament that have either been suspended or have gone through this process. And I don't think, again, we want to turn the committee into something that it's not. Now, having said that, I really think I also want to agree with the co-chair, is that allow the process to conclude. Once that process has concluded and we receive a report on the outcomes of the DC process, if there are matters related to financial mismanagement, that be taken up by the committee, and we only restrict ourselves to that part. Whether the Secretary to Parliament gets a handshake or not, he will still be, if they are, because at this point there's just speculation of what that DC process or the report even speaks about. But let the process run its course, conclude, let the DC conclude, and if there are
issues related to financial mismanagement of funds that this committee then entertains post the process. Thanks, Jay.
Thank you, Jefferson. Like I said earlier, I have really no intention to read the report or see the report. I don't think it's going to make any difference to me at this stage of the game. But having said that, I still say that we should have access to the report, not in a printed form, and hand it out to all of us, because I can bet my bottom dollar, and I don't have many of those left, that it will go to the media. And we'll be coming here as honorable members, looking at each other and saying, no, it must have been Motara. Motara will say, no, Singh is short of money, so maybe he went to the media. And then we'll say it could have been the chairperson, you know. And I want to avoid that kind of thing happening for myself. That is why, personally, I said I don't want to see the report. But if I have an opportunity where it is made available, so wherever it is, to all of us together, like the budget, I mean, even the media must understand now that they are here. When a budget is to be tabled in Parliament, they are locked up from 6 in the morning, but they can do whatever they want. They sign secrecy. We must do the same. Because the concern I have, Chair, is if any part of this internal audit report is leaked publicly, right, then it can jeopardize the very purpose of why we wanted this inquiry. And an individual can come along and say, but this is trial now by media or trial by somebody else. So that is my concern. It's happened in the past, and we've failed. So like I said, we must see what our main objective is. However, having said that, I discussed with Honorable Mentor, and I take her points about the handshake. There could be a behind-the-scenes agreement by the people who are conducting the disciplinary inquiry and the presiding officers and the person involved to settle the matter, in which case we wouldn't have had sight of anything, and that would be very wrong if they conclude a process without us having actually seen the prima facie evidence. But the evidence, I believe, should not just be made public now. At a particular stage, it will be made public. We need to also know, Chairperson, I think, from the presiding officers, what process is going to be followed now? Now that they've got this report, who is going to conduct the disciplinary inquiry? Will it be conducted in public, etc., etc.? So I think those are the kinds of things that, you know, I'll feel more comfortable with than wanting to get involved at this stage of the process. When the police are still investigating a matter, we want the evidence out of them, you know, before the person is actually prosecuted. Prosecution hasn't taken place yet. It will take place in a court of law. So I don't want the evidence now publicly when that evidence would be used in court against that particular individual. So I still say that we must just be guarded that the process is not swept under the carpet or the settlements are reached behind us. But I would still like to have an opportunity possibly to read the report, but in a contained environment where we sign secrecy, etc. Thank you.
Honorable Coleman.
Thanks, Chair. I think I'm really covered by the honorable members. But I just want to check where members get the suspicion that there might be any form of, clandestine arrangement made, you know, outside the knowledge of this particular committee. I just want to be convinced of that, because currently these are just fears. And the basis for these fears, I don't think I understand them. Has anything of that sort ever happened? Really, we need further justification for this. If that's the only reason why we want to see the report, then I think more facts have to be put in place so that have to be put before us so that we discuss them and understand those fears and be able to follow those such things. Or perhaps decide upon those particular issues. Otherwise, I still feel if we get the report, it will be put in the cart before the horse, and is that our mandate? I would say no, it's not our mandate, and therefore we would be micromanaging and not correct. Let the authorities be, do that type of work, and then upon completion of that, then we then can entertain by holding them accountable for what they would have done in that process. I think that is proper. I really feel that we should leave the matter before them, and then I agree with those who say that. Thank you.
Chair, before I respond to everyone else, when we broke to go into the House, there were two proposals on the table. One was, and we were about to take a vote, are those proposals still on the table? One being that we are that we will each get a copy of the report and obviously keep it confidential, and the other one is that we won't get one and we have to go into a room and read it. Are those two proposals still on the table?
Well, nothing is on the table and everything is on the table. That makes sense. Nothing is on the table and everything is on the table. And that is why we've allowed everybody to speak. And that is why we broke at that point, because we had reached no point. So to answer your question, nothing is on the table and everything is on the table.
Okay. So I'd like to put the proposal that we get a copy of that report on the table, formally, if I can do that. As a committee that oversees Parliament, we have an obligation and a duty to get that report and to read it and to apply our minds to it. And failure to do so would be ossification of our dereliction of our duty. Let me put it that way. As far as I'm concerned, I agree with what's been said. We don't want to be a bargaining council, but this is not a wage negotiation. This is dealing with alleged maladministration, alleged, we don't know what's in the report because we haven't read it, but alleged financial irregularities, which we have a duty, as I say, to look into, is what this committee is here for. So the fact is I don't buy those questions trying to make us into a bargaining council. Also, the deputy, the vice chair, the co-chair also said we're not supposed to have the report. I mean, why not? Why aren't we supposed to have the report? That's just an opinion. The fact of the matter is, the report is ready. We've been asking for it, as Honourable Steenhuisen said earlier, for several months. And now that it is ready, you don't want to give it to us, for whatever reason. And our concerns are legitimate with regards to the fact that often employees who are found guilty of wrongdoing get a golden handshake from institutions, government institutions, and then sign a secrecy clause where they can't, not allowed to spill the beans on the institution, because it may have implications for other people and other ramifications. And that is a real concern. And we should be concerned about that, because we want to expose whatever irregularities being going on in this institution, and in order for it not to happen again. So on those matters, Chair, I would strongly support the distribution of the document, as long as it remain, as we all commit, as honourable members, as we have taken the oath, to keep it confidential. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honourable Steenhuisen.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. And may I just say, I think it was a good idea to have the break, because it allowed us to go and consult. I've taken advice from counsel. I would say that Parliament has a procedure that's laid down. It was done so in the Issue 4 of the Procedural Developments in the National Assembly, the heading of Status of Confidential Documents Before Committees. The process for doing so is laid out in our National Assembly Guide to Procedure. It says here, where confidential documents have been submitted to Parliament, it has been practiced to publish the names of the documents in the ATC. Such documents are kept confidential while controlled access by relevant person is provided. In the past, the following system has been adopted. The
documents are received by the Speaker or his or her nominee and the Secretary to Parliament and his or her nominee. The documents are placed in a safe set aside for this purpose, equipped with a dual lock. One key is held by the Speaker as her nominee and the other by the Secretary to Parliament and his or her nominee. Gaining access to the documents requires both principals or their nominees. So lock the safe, take the documents to a controlled venue. The venue is guarded and supervised by the Sergeant at Arms. On entering the venue, members must identify themselves, sign a register, and record their time of entering and leaving the venue. No cameras or recording devices may be brought in. The documents are formally made available to specified members. A register is kept in which each member signs for each document that he or she peruses. Members are cautioned that the contents of the documents may not be disclosed. It's from our guide's procedure. Now, that would be all well and good, but there's a fatal flaw in that. The fatal flaw in that, Chair, is that you have been provided with the document. So as a member of this committee, you have access to privileged information that no other member of the committee now has access to. And that has now obviously rendered this particular process invalid because there's now this copy that you've had for the weekend that's floating around. These are not simply an HR matter. Every single time that myself and other members of this committee have raised issues around Mr. Mgidlana and his behavior, table documents around the use of vehicles and blue lights, etc., we've been battered for touch that there's this investigation that's taking place, and that when the internal audit committee had been it completed its work, that we would then be reported to by the committee, and it appeared on the agenda of our program that we were going to get this report. It was delayed. It was supposed to be on the agenda last at our last meeting. It was delayed because the presiding officers hadn't yet seen it. But it was always the intention that we were going to get a briefing and be taken through the document. That was the intention from the beginning. So that is what has heightened my suspicion now about why the document has been kept from selected members of this committee. It's my belief that the document has been kept from selected members of the committee because there is another process that is now in play. I can tell you right now that if the document had exonerated Mr. Mgidlana, we would have been sitting here with it being issued by Mr. Matapo and others from the rooftops. It's clearly not the case, and we're now proceeding to DC. There's no reason it can't be provided. All it will simply constitute is a charge sheet of the matters which now Mr. Mgidlana will have to face in terms of the DC. The DC process itself, that can be confidential. There's no problem. But I really don't see the problem with a charge sheet. We heard about the police investigating, etc. I'd be very surprised if a police docket has been opened prior to the disciplinary committee taking place. So us affecting a police investigation is, I think, it's highly unlikely. And in any case, if a docket has been opened with the police, we would be able to get access to that docket anyway because the affidavits, etc., would have had to be appended to it. Where does the fear come in? The fear comes in terms of the Nkandla scandal. Not a single person in public works or that has now been disciplined. In fact, the very last disciplinary committees fell apart as late as last month. The Waterkloof landing, nobody's been held accountable. A parliamentary example, a senior staff member was found guilty or accused of tampering with computers and taking information off them. She is now the spokesperson to the public protector of the Republic of South Africa. That is why I have a suspicion that a Schlenter deal has been done here to ensure that accountability is evaded. Chair, it's my advice that the fact that the document was handed to you has fatally compromised the confidentiality of it and renders the argument that it can't be provided to other members of the committee completely without void of legal standing. And so I would say again that Parliament is a public institution. The internal audit is an internal audit committee of a public institution, and that members of this committee certainly, even if it's on a confidential basis, should be entitled to access to that document. That is our argument, that is our view, and we would obviously have to exercise another avenue tomorrow if that is not going to be provided. Thanks.
Honourable Gaila? Gaila?
No, I think Honourable Sink has covered me. And I would agree there's nothing confidential, but next week the report will be out in the media. So there's nothing so confident that members cannot have access to the documents. And we are members, and we've sworn confidentially. So, but Honorable Singh has covered me. So I support him. Thank you.
All right. Let me talk for myself and not as chair because I'm part of this committee. I think Honorable Steenhuisen, when you started, you were confirming what I suggested earlier on, that there is precedent. We did it in many areas and many instances that we all have access to it. Not only this committee, by the way, all members of parliament will have access to it under guarded circumstances. There's nothing special about this committee, by the way. It is nothing special about us. We're all members of parliament. So if it's in that environment, then any member of parliament will go and say, I'm Vincent, I need an hour, and I look at it. We can't make this committee a super committee. The second point I want to make is that the fact that I have received it can't compromise the confidentiality of it because it has to come to somebody. Even if Speaker Harris would have to give it to me or somebody, it can't be conflict. And these are my views. I'm not arguing for or against anybody else. And the third point, my understanding, Honourable Members, was that when we asked for the briefing from the Audit Committee, that briefing was going to give us the process, was going to give us the timeline. It was never intended to come and say to us, we have found so-and-so guilty. That was my understanding of what the intention was. So, putting all that together, I am of the view, and I'm supporting the views that have been raised by Singh and others who have said, let us agree that this document is kept under lock and key, that this document is freely available to any member of parliament, and the only condition is that you must go and say, I'm Vincent Smith, you are recorded, and you read it and you leave without, as we said, a pen, without a cell phone to take notes. It has been done many times in my term of office here in parliament. So that's my own view. Now I'm putting it, there was a proposal by Honourable, well, let me put it to you differently. I'm putting that as a firm proposal. Because there's been a proposal by Honourable Waters that we open it up. When I say open it up, we give it to everybody. He formally put it on the table. Nobody opposed it. And I'm putting it on the table that we go the route of supervised access to all members of parliament, formally putting it on. Those are the two issues. I mean, the two options that are there. But let's take Honourable Steenhuisen and... okay.
Chair, Joyce, sorry, just...
No, hold on. No, I'll come to you. I'm just going to note your other hands. It's Steenhuisen and then Gaila. This is the last round, Honourable Members. It's your second and last bite. After this, we must conclude it. So I've noted Steenhuisen. I've noted Gaila. Anybody else that wants to contribute? And Steenhuisen, Gaila, and Singh. And thereafter, we're going to take a decision. Steenhuisen, Gaila, Singh, Waters. And we'll take a decision.
Chairperson, I think that, first of all, if we're going to put the two proposals, they must be done correctly because I think the use of the word tabled and open is misleading. I think that what the Honourable Waters meant was that the report is tabled with us as members of the committee, but in terms of our rules, it's treated as a confidential document. So there are consequences for members who leak it because they then can be taken to the Ethics Committee, to the Disciplinary Committee of Parliament, and there are consequences of it. You're absolutely right, Chair, and I've said to you there is precedent for what you're suggesting, and it's laid out in Parliament's guide to procedure and as well in the as what we would call established precedent in terms of that. But what I've made the point to you again, that process has been breached by the fact that a copy has been made available to you. If this procedure had been followed as a confidential document in here, it would be sanitized. It is a specific reason why it says it is the Speaker and the Secretary to Parliament or her nominee, I imagine that or that would be the Acting Secretary, should have maintained the sanctity of that document from the beginning. But the fact that for more than 72 hours now, or longer than that, it was Friday last, almost a week now, a member of the committee, who is a member of Parliament, you would say, we don't have super committees, we also don't have super members of Parliament. We all have the same rights as members of Parliament. That has been provided to you, has not been provided, the same courtesy has not been extended to other members of this committee, saying it therefore renders that process moot because it has not been followed in terms of our procedure and precedent that you've referred to. And that would be the basis of the challenge.
I thought honourable members were coming with new suggestions and not reiterating what we've said before. And let me put it very plainly. I hear what you're saying, honourable senator. The question that we have to answer is, do we make it available or don't we make it available? That's the question that we have to ask in an open forum. And I was saying that Honorable Waters suggested that we take the document and we make copies to everybody. That's what he said. I'm suggesting that we make it access under supervision. Let's be very clear. Nobody is having, there's nothing that's embargoed. It's access under supervision. That's the proposal that I'm putting on the table. And honorable members must then take a decision on that one. Honorable Gaylor, Honorable Singh, and Honorable Waters. Yes, in that order, and then we'll take a decision.
Yeah, no, I wanted to support you on that one, Chairperson. I just wanted to support you, access under supervision. Thank you, I'm supporting it.
Honorable Singh?
Yeah, Chair, I will also support access under supervision because that was a proposal that I made at lunchtime. But the caveat is that we need to know what process is going to be followed and we need to be briefed. Who's going to conduct the disciplinary hearing? How, when? Is it going to be public, not public? Because I would hate that the document be made public and we don't have a copy in an open hearing. Because if that's going to be the case, then we need to have it as well. But for now, I'm comfortable with the fact that we go and read it at our...
Honourable Waters, and you'll be the last one, co-chair, and we'll take a decision.
Chair, the question I've got is, why do you have a copy and we don't? What makes What makes you so special that you get a copy and we don't? Because I mean, you've got it now. No, but it's true. Why do you have that copy? And what are you going to do with that copy? Give it back to the speaker.
Dialogue. Put your points and we'll respond to it.
You know, so if we do have this supervised vision or reading of the documents, it's going to be in your office. I mean, you know, we're all equal members of this committee. You may be the co-chair, but we're all equal members. And therefore, if you've got the copy, we are entitled to have a copy.
That's your point, Honourable. It's fine. Nobody's arguing with that. And I'll respond to some of your questions. But I didn't think it's about me. It was about the process. Honourable Co-Chair.
Thanks, Co-Chair. I want to support the compromise proposal that we have come up with, that the document be made available under supervision. I think as you have actually explained, even though some of us may not even be interested in wanting to access it, will only be interested after the process, but I can live with what we have proposed. Thank you very much.
All right. Just to, Honourable Singh, I think you're correct. We can ask Speaker for time frames and timelines and so on. If we go the route, I'm trying to answer Honourable Waters' question. If we go the route of...
Just before you, I'm so sorry.
Yes, Chief.
Let me just ask this question, just for my absolute clarity. Is it certain that if we go and read it under supervision, nobody is allowed to go out and speak to the media on the content of the bill? Is that the understanding of this meeting? And how do you manage that?
I was saying there's precedent, and I mean, surely the legal people would be able to come up with the rules of the game. No phones. The intention is that I must know about it wherever I am, and we must maintain the integrity. I think that's the intention. Does that mean I can't go and speak out of turn? I'm saying those things. I don't have it, but we can certainly get the answers from the legal team. Honourable Waters, my understanding is if we went the supervision route, this report, you and I will take it back to the presiding officers today. And say to the presiding officers, we've taken a decision that this is the route that we must take. And can I answer this question?
On a point of order, okay. Chair. Thank you so much. I think, Chair, I'm not going to sit in a meeting where you as a co-chair authority is questioned. I have a child, I have a problem with that. I mean, the fact of the matter is you are presiding over the affairs of this committee, of this meeting. So you are the chair. That's the authority you have. And also, you are a conduit between the speaker and us. So there's no way that we're going to allow you a question to be posed to you as to how different are you that you can have the report. Who else could the speaker given the report to? I don't think that's correct. I don't think we should just keep quiet and not address that. You are the presiding officer in the absence of the speaker. You are there given authority to do so. And therefore, you have the authority to have the report because you brought the report to us. You disclosed to us to say, I have a report, and this is what I'm proposing we do. And then you open that to us. We're discussing it. If we want to discuss how you should handle that report, it should be a matter of discussion. And I really don't appreciate the way we discuss. We should not personalize issues here. We are here as a collective, and I take it that we keep on saying we are honorable. And let's act and talk honorably. So that, because that goes to respect. And we must start by respecting you as our leadership there, irrespective of party political affiliation. The fact is that you are the first point of call. If anybody wants to know the affairs of this committee, they come to both of you. So I don't think that needs to be questioned. I just wanted to raise on the point of order on that one. Thank you.
And I was not going to talk to.
I'll take a point of order, if I may.
Yes, you may, sir.
Rule 158, you remember the National Assembly, sets out the duties and responsibilities of chairpersons. It doesn't give you any extra rights in terms of what the honourable members just said. And if I may ask the question, then, if you're the conduit, how come the co-chair hasn't been given a copy of the report? Why have you been selected to be able to get a copy of the report and nobody else has?
No, I thought we'd have an honest and open discussion, but if it's going to become a banter, I will exercise my right as the chair. No, you did, yes. So I'm ruling on it. And my ruling is I'm putting the proposal. Those that are of the view that this report must be given to members, all members, can you indicate by a show of hand? I'm putting the question fairly. The proposition is that the report be given to members, and members would have the report in their possession and deal with the report responsibly. That's the one proposal. The other proposal is that this report doesn't be given to members. It goes into a safe holding somewhere, and members have access to the report via recorded entry and recorded exit. Those are the two proposals on the table. So let me put the second one, because that's the one that I put on the table. Nobody can dispute that one, and then we can put the other one. Those that are of the view that we should take it back to the speaker so that it goes into a safe house, so that everybody gets access to it under lock and key and through signing, can we have an indication by show of hands, those that are of the view we should take that option? And if it could be recorded.
Can I just ask that the names are recorded? It's going to be very important.
Those that are of the view that the report be given to members with the understanding that they will treat it with the respect that it deserves, the confidentiality as deserved, can we have a show of hands, those that support it? And can we record it, please? Thank you very much. The decision of this committee is that this report will be taken back to the speaker or to the executive authority and the process would be for the executive authority to outline in terms of how they give everybody access to it. I want to reiterate there's no embargo, it's access under supervision. And that will be done today. As soon as we can get hold of Speaker or Secretary or Deputy Speaker, we shall give it to them and ask them to outline the process for us. Thank you very much. Meeting is adjourned.
Thank you, Chair. Otherwise, it's ruthless.